In this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and Sam Robertson, we're in the very sober space of the prophets who are married to the spirit of empire and the damage that that has done to the prophetic movement. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and the sidekick, the joyous sidekick that is Prophet
Sam Robertson.
How are you today, Sam?
I am well.
We are in the north side of the city of Glasgow in Scotland, and we are starting to see it get a little bit warmer. But as you know, Scotland is never super warm, so we're still socks and boots.
Absolutely.
And it's just got wetter and wetter. Shall we have a controversial conversation about climate change? Let's not. But it never stops raining here.
It really does not. It is depressing. Miserable and wet.
That's why you need to escape for the month of July, isn't it? To go and get somewhere where you're not soaked every time you leave the house.
Get to warm weather, absolutely.
I know, I was squelching around on the our back lawn, our back grass, and in our garden, and it's like literally you're hoisting your trousers up because the bottom of them will be soaking the grind never dries out.
It never ever dries out, ever.
And then everything is so wet, it grows prolifically, mainly the weeds.
It's why Scotland is so green, but it's not sunny enough for us to enjoy being outdoors in the green space as much as we would like.
And then if any of you have ever holidayed in Scotland, you will know that there is a tragedy called the Scottish Midge, which is like a biting gnat.
Yes, that flies.
That flies tiny, and they come in swarms. So every time the sun does come out, you get eaten alive by midges.
And literally your skin swells up in tiny little red dots where they have bitten you.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a curse upon the land.
It is definitely a curse upon the land. We are really marketing Come to Scotland.
Come to Scotland.
There's a whole Visit Scotland campaign to make it touristy. But if you do, come to Scotland, yes, but make sure that you bring layers, waterproofs, and midge spray that repels them from biting you.
Glorious. I've never camped in Scotland because of the midges. Look at your face. That
camping.
Says it all. Camping, not your thing.
No, definitely not.
No.
It sounds terrible. I used to do it when I was a teenager, but it was a sacrifice unto the Lord.
Where were you camping that was a
youth, at youth camps.
Oh, well, youth camps.
Yeah,
church,
I used to think
camps.
Our youth group to Soul Survivor and other things and all these youth camps.
No, so. Fair enough. Yeah, okay. And right. So today we're going to talk about empire because it seems to be like something we're coming to hit. So about three episodes ago, loyal listeners, let me get my words in place. We were talking about this 50-year reset of God, this power changing hands, the international shaking. You've heard us talk a lot about third world wars, war in every continent, what the Lord is talking to us about, judgment on different currencies. Mm-hmm. But I want to give a why. Why?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes we can just read Matthew's, the end of Matthew's gospel, the wars, the rumors of wars type concepts. And we just don't really understand why God might be doing some of the things that he's doing. Mm-hmm. We do allude a lot to, in fact, we talk quite honestly about it. God wants a harvest of souls.
Yeah, he does.
And so sometimes he shakes things to produce the desire for himself, because men don't choose a savior in good times. They choose a savior in hard times. But I think we got to be very honest about the church and why there is such judgment coming to the house of God.
Okay.
And so I want to say this, the church has become not the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. but an empire. The church around the world mostly, certainly in the West, certainly in Christendom, is an empire. And that's a very stridently strong and quite difficult thing to say. It's an ugly thing to say. And this sense that we like to make money, be comfortable, exert force over others, choose the law to dominate unwilling subjects that makes us political animals is going to cause us to walk into a judgment of God. So if I go quite stridently to define it and then kick the ball over to you, the church, I would say, is an instrument largely of empire. It's become one with empire. The church in the West are not the martyrs of the world. They are not the persecuted of the world. They are chaplains that massage empire goings on. We, in the creation of Christendom and the thought of Christian nations and Christian political order, was never, ever, ever to be the purpose of the church. And our desire for Christian laws, our desire for Christian values, our desire for Christian constitutions is not ever a particularly biblical thought. They are thoughts that come from the desire to dominate, not from the desire to liberate. And so when we look at Christian laws, Christian values, and Christian constitutions, we are about enforcing a Christian value rather than liberating people to find Christ.
Wow.
And all of that is come from this heart of we want to make Christianity powerful.
Yeah.
In other words, we want cultural Christianity.
Yeah.
And that is not ever the emphasis of Scripture.
Wow, these are big thoughts.
They are.
And this whole concept of, you know, empire versus the kingdom, as it were, they are two
yes.
opposing structures, two opposing ways of doing things. We want the kingdom of God. We don't want the empire, because empire is man-made. And we're saying here so much of what we have, we call kingdom of God, but it's empire because it's man-made. I think what strikes me as well is that empire wants to create uniformity, whereas the kingdom creates unity, and they are two
massively
very different things. And
yeah.
I do think what we call unity is actually uniformity in disguise. Think the same, act the same, do
yeah.
the same, be the same as one way that we set. One way is the only way of doing mm-hmm. church or whatever, rather than unity. And true unity is about hearts connected around the values of
yeah.
the kingdom. And much
yeah.
of what we are seeing is this uniformity. And it means then that for the few who don't fit in, that feels quite drastic. It feels isolated, like I don't fit into to the wider body of what is going on. But I think empire, for me, when you first started to talk about this, I realized how much
yeah.
empire had washed, not just out there, the church out there, but washes how we think. And I do think we have to ask the question, how much am I thinking empire thoughts versus kingdom of God thoughts?
I felt like I woke up, we talked about this in a Power Hour broadcast. I felt like I woke up recently and I'd been institutionalized.
Yeah.
It was so deeply personal
yeah.
and so deeply painful. I've been institutionalized within a prophetic Christendom. And a lot of the prophetic people that I've, you know, got good relationships with and friendships with, were all behaving in an institutional way. And I have prophesied that before,
yeah.
but I often felt like I stood outside it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, because remember, I brought a word, it's kind of a longer standing word, that the prophets are institutionalized, and it created quite a lot of conflict. The concept, oh no, no, we're the free ones. Oh no, no, we're the wild ones.
Yeah.
Oh no, no, we're the ones who hold the church to account. And so we're slightly one step removed, so that we're not the pastors who lead,
yeah.
we're the prophets who, you know, assess on behalf of God. And I find it a very difficult moment to go, oh man, I think I'm as institutionalized as the rest that I've been prophesying to, in the sense of like, we aren't wild. We aren't measurably different. We aren't distinct.
Yeah.
We are all contained by a set of standards of behavior
yeah.
that aren't actually scriptural. And I think that's the problem. The expectation of behavior is not a scriptural expectation of behavior. It's a man-made expectation
yeah.
of behavior. And I think I felt that very, very, very strongly.
Yeah.
And empire, it wants comfort.
Hmm.
It wants privilege.
Yeah.
It wants position. It wants wealth. It sanctions exploitation, and it makes people we don't like our enemy
yeah.
rather than a sharpening gift to us.
Yeah.
And that really is, I felt that personally, oh, I'm now an enemy to some people rather than a sharpening gift, because we're outside of the iron sharpening iron of the kingdom, and we're into, if you're not the same as me or agreeing with me or back me, then you're my enemy.
Yeah.
And I thought, how have I become an enemy to people who I love? I become an enemy because they want the safety of the empire, where we agree in, we talked about it before, around some of our Christmas broadcasts. We want oligarchy, the government of the few. We want to have Christian monarchs in place who are anointed to lead us in a dictatorial way. Or we want plutocracy, which is the government of the wealthy. And suddenly this sense of, oh, we're supposed to each bring a diverse and sharpening portion, where you get to think according to what God has put within you, and you bring that, and we sit and we discuss elements of scripture, and what do you see in it, and what do I see it, and we sharpen each other together. And this sense that Christianity in Christendom has only known dictatorial control and high levels of religiosity. And I felt recently so deeply, deeply grieved to find the entire prophetic movement captured by empire.
Well, yeah, I think even beyond that, we see it in other movements as well, but particularly in the prophetic movement, this empire mindset. And what is empire? It is about amassing great power through wealth and numbers and likes or whatever it may be. Empires are always about increasing power, increasing domination. But the kingdom of God is in the power of the Holy Spirit, giving your life away. Yeah. It is the servanthood, the sowing of yourself, the giving of yourself to others, that is much more subversive in the kingdom of God, and is much more in the serving of one another. And I do think this empire word, When you strip empire out of the church, and when you start to think differently, it does require us to assess all our thoughts about projects, about how we outwork our faith, about how we build for the kingdom of God, because it's so deeply ingrained into how we perceive our responsibility.
Yes, and I want to talk very directly into the prophetic movement, which I feel a bit ashamed of right now. And I feel a little bit embarrassed of the prophetic movement and its territorial empire control and its Christian monarchs.
Yeah.
And I'm sad.
Yeah.
And I'm sad on occasions to be part of the prophetic movement, even though I find myself as a leader in it. And the need to think better around what it is. Mm. And I think for me, it's that sense of, when you bring the word of the Lord and you lay that in the middle of a conversation, and the listener doesn't like it or is provoked or challenged by it, or it's not what they're used to hearing, or it's outside of just, you're going to increase, you're going to be blessed, you're going to break through, rather than go, thank you.
Yeah.
For seeing something different,
we're
going to sit and do our due diligence and testing and weighing it. It must have been difficult to bring that word. There is a, who do you think you are? And there is a sense of, we will stand against you because you brought something that was outside of the norm.
Yeah.
Rather than going, oh my, the word of the Lord is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Let's go into Jeremiah. It's like hammer. It's like fire. I mean, you know, let's go into Psalm 29. It strips the cedars bare and, you know, it strikes the ground with lightning. All of those different scriptures we can layer about the stridency or the shocking nature of the word of the Lord, all that makes Jeremiah hated by his family, that makes the prophets marginalized and ostracized. And so I kind of feel like, surely as prophets, we understand what it's like to live in the rejected space. We understand what it's like to be marginalized, unless we've completely bowed to it and only prophesy what people want to hear. So why then, as prophets, do we find ourselves at war with each other when we're the ones who should have an understanding of the provocative nature of the anointing? Mm. That actually the word of the Lord sits in the middle of us and we look at it and go, man, that was a difficult word to bring. I wonder why God's given that here right now. I wonder if there's truth in it. Let's do our portion to weigh in, test it. And rather than that be the conversation piece within the modern day prophetic movement of you're hearing that, you're hearing what the all political parties are going to be made impotent by God because he won't let politics have the upper hand in this next epoch. Wow, that's a strident word. Why don't we sit and talk about the impotence of politics in this next era, that actually it won't matter who's elected because God's going to withhold anything that might, like an Isaiah 45, like a Cyrus blessing to an elected a secular leader. God's removing all of that. God's saying, you will be impotent in politics. Yeah. He is saying that. So it doesn't actually matter in some of the Western dynamics who is elected, because God's saying politics won't hold nations. Why don't we sit and go together? Wow, God, are you actually saying that? You send a prophet to be provocative. Yeah. We understand that's the job.
Role. Yeah.
That's the role. Rather than go, I hate you, you're my enemy. That is empire. And that is territorial control. And that is Christian monarchy that only lets be spoken what there is a pre-agreement that is spoken. And that's nothing to do with the word of the Lord.
Come on.
And it is that God will judge, the empire within the prophetic movement. And I think my sense is the prophetic movement is about, you thought the Trump prophecies or the false stuff about when COVID would end or the blessing of Christian leaders without actually talking to them about their sin, that got us all into a place of prophetic disrepute and rightly got us into international disrepute. You think that was bad? We are about to hit a judgment of God because we have learned how to hate each other and in an empire monarchy way rather than respect and give space to the word of the Lord being provocative back and forward. And it is this judgment against empire that God is doing to the wider house, but to the prophetic movement in particular, where God is saying, some of you will not be allowed to prophesy and will not be allowed to emerge because I cannot have my word contaminated. I cannot have my word only spoken by Christian monarchs. I cannot have my word spoken by territorially minded people who love their nation more than they love the kingdom.
Come on. And an empire, I think what is even more insidious, particularly within the prophetic movement, is that when you are not prophesying within the predetermined uniformity of speech or uniformity of revelation or uniformity of what is acceptable and what is unacceptable, then you get called a false prophet. And it is that accusation that's brought forth in a misunderstanding of what a false prophet is and what a prophet actually is.
Yeah.
And rather than understanding that a false prophet is an antichrist spirit that raises itself against Christ, it's you're raising yourself against me because you're not agreeing with me. Therefore, you're a false prophet. And I think you see this rolling of this defensive kind of, I must protect what I have built, which is an empire thought.
Yes.
I mustn't lose the ground I've made. I mustn't lose my territory. So anything that challenges that or maybe brings an opportunity to think outside of what I've built or the ground I've made is accused as being a false prophet and you know, sometimes silenced or whatever. And I think this move in the prophetic world has so stripped even the relational conversations about the word of the Lord. Yes, I did prophesy that, and maybe you don't agree about it, but let's have a conversation.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, what is your iron sharpening iron bringing to the table where we wrestle what God might be doing in the nations.
Absolutely.
And I think once you are in empire, you are instinctively defensive.
Yes.
Once you are in empire, you shoot everything down very speedily without giving space or time to it. And a lot of prophetic words take quite a lot of time to work out.
You do.
And we see that all through Scripture. The years and many of
decades,
the prophets, many of the prophets dying hundreds of years before the word of the Lord came to pass. And that sense of, I feel like I can instantly, you know, that doesn't agree with where I am right now. So I will instantly reject that. And we are as empire in the prophetic movement as any other denomination is. And it is time for a mirror to come in front of our faces. And the prophets are supposed to be those, you know, like Samuel and like Elijah, who do work in companies together, the five different companies or cohort living cities of the prophets that we read about in the Old Testament, who come alongside a nation who are deliberately a standard of provocation. The prophets are a standard of provocation. And if you are defending your position continually, prophets, and won't let another provocation sharpen you, you are going to be a Laodicean place. That's Revelation 3:15, where you are spat out by God. And I think we're now at the place where I'm happy to say God's about to be sick, and he's about to throw up some of the prophets who will not work within the iron sharpening iron, who will not receive a prophetic emphasis that balances and makes them think in a wider way. And if you are in an echo chamber of your own culture, you are actually in an empire mindset, and God will go after that.
Yeah.
And I think that we are now in the place where I am in fear and trembling, but I feel personally, and I'm being very personal, I feel more free, more released, more well than I think I felt in two full years, because we've wrestled the sense of, like, you know, are we too much? Are we too much? Are we too much? Are we too much? Do we tone it down? You know, endlessly I have thought that. Endlessly David and I have had late night conversations about who we are to be. And you come to this place where, yes, you must be relationally winsome. Yes, you must be secure in kindness and the fruit of the spirit of kindness. Yeah, yeah. Yes, you must be incredibly biblically literate. And all of these things have taken David and I years to resolve. Yes, you know, you want to get repeat invitations so that you can hold people's hands through the journey of stewarding their revelation. But actually, there has to be at the same time the freedom and the humility to say, I don't know all things, but I know that there is a need for cross-cultural, because we all have a backyard opinion that we're indoctrinated with, that, but I know that my job is to stand and to say, I think this is what God is saying, and I'll say it strong. Your job is not to hate me. Your job is to test the word.
Come on. There you go. Test, not assess.
Yes.
Don't assess, because assessment is by your empire, by your uniformity. Testing is by the Spirit.
And I have found that in the wider world, there are people in their tens of thousands who just want to hear what God says.
Absolutely.
And
we are
wrestling in slimy, ugly, shallow empire waters.
Small waters.
For platforms and microphones and space and acceptability at tables that are empire tables.
Yeah, yeah.
When there are tens of thousands of people out there who are saying to us,
can you just tell
me what God says?
Yeah.
I just want to know. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you very personally, I was recently at a place. It wasn't my nation.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a culture that I was familiar with. They weren't familiar with my culture. We all had different skin colors. You know, we all had different cultural backgrounds. I was one of the only white European. I think I was the only European. I think I was the only European in the room. And certainly I was the whitest person in the room, because the Irish are kind of like almost see-through. We're so pale. And all of that. And so I was different, but I was different enough for them to go, oh, we're going to listen to your difference.
Yeah.
And I came away thinking, oh, how's this going to, I sat in the seat, first of all, I thought, oh, how's this going to go? And am I going to be able to meet them where they are? Because you want to bend for receptivity and you want to be wise in your cross-cultural communication.
Yeah, and honoring,
I found them the most accepting group I have preached to in probably 3 or 4 years, because there was a sense of, right, we actually don't know what to do with your differences. So we're just going to accept the word of the Lord.
We're going to accept you.
I was out of the door 48 hours before I had an invitation to come back almost immediately, because they said, you shook our worlds, you turned our heads upside down, but and fair play to them, we realized we needed to sit in the provocation of the word of the Lord.
Oh, come on.
And they were going like, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm too European. You can hear the gasps in the room. But they sort of loved the sharpening of the differences.
Oh, I love that.
Rather than, you don't sound like me, therefore I will control you and shut you down.
The door's closed.
Close the door. I don't like your version of your iron.
Come on.
In my iron. You know, I just want to control the dynamic. And I thought, fair play to you. Fair play to you, because a prophet is not always easy in the moment. But I think I want to encourage you. First of all, you're going to see some judgment, but I don't want you to clap your hands and go, yee-haw, I told you so. That's not nice. But I want you to understand that there is a world out there that needs what you hear, that needs your iron. You've got to be prepared to be sharpened. You've got to be prepared to surrender your words for other people to weigh and test. But God is dealing with empire within the prophetic community.
Come on. Oh, thus saith the Lord. There is a word. Come on.
And he will judge it.
Yes,
and he will judge it. This calendar year, I think we're into 12 to 18 months. That's me being gracious.
That's
I think it's a bit shorter.
I think it's
shorter than that. Yeah. And certainly by the time you listen to this, it'll be shorter than that again, where the Lord has said, I just won't tolerate this. I just won't tolerate this.
Yeah. And do you know what I think the beauty is? I do believe God is raising up a company of prophets for himself that are pure, that are easy relationally, that are of kingdom values and of heart. And I think if you're thinking, amazing, but what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. You're saying, God, deal with empire, but God, would you raise up prophets? God, would you raise up prophets? Would you raise up a company of prophets? And you bless the prophets that have been raised up, that are searching for what is right, to find that plumb line, to find the lines of the kingdom of God. And I think as we see this judgment, there is, I'm aware in the spirit, it's in the distance, not too far off, but not immediately clear, near, this bright shining of a prophetic people that is on the rise, who prophesy the word of the Lord and who carry that Revelation 11 mandate to prophesy to peoples and nations and regions and lands and, you know, climates, as we said in the previous episodes, and that we are coming to those days of a true fullness of the office of the prophet in the earth.
Yes.
And it is because of that that God is saying, right, I need to judge your empire.
It's terrifying.
It is.
It's terrifying. And you don't want to find yourself in a place of, here's the difficulty. You don't want to dishonor that which has gone before.
Yeah.
But I think there is a right distancing. Where some things that went before, not everything, because that would be too broad brushstroke, not everything that went before, but some things that went before fought so hard, legitimately fought so hard for their space. And to say God spoke, that there was an overextension of that fought for place to become a defensive oligarchy or an empire of mine and my territory. And don't you rain in my parade. And I think there needs to be in this generation of prophets, I don't even like using the word generation because it gives a sense of age.
It's not that.
And that's not very helpful.
Wave.
But this wave, let's talk wave rather than generation, that you're going to have to be very careful that you don't accidentally partner with judgment or criticism, but that you understand that God has a place for his voice.
Absolutely.
To now come forth in a new way. And boy, is it the turning of the tide within the international prophetic movement.
Yeah.
It's the turning of the tide. Yes. And in what world, when I look at, I can only talk as a mum to my three children, and then as a leader to you. In what world, Sam, would I ever want to see my children or you limited?
Oh, come on.
In what world?
Yeah, yeah.
In what world would I not want to ooh and ah and stand on my chair and cheer when you're in full flight and when you've heard something that I've never heard? Mm. What true parent wouldn't want the fullness of your sword being sharp?
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to say, come on, I don't understand all you said. I might not even like all you've said. I might have no hook to hang what you've said. But then you're in your 20s and I'm in my 40s. And Sam, you're a different generation to me. And in all of that, you will carry something I will never carry. So if I dare to shut you down in that way, how do I stand before God? And that sense of like, I might not always get what you say. Not that that's happened yet, but there'll come a day where I go, oh my, really? Sam, really? Is that what God's saying? But may we be the people who go for each other.
Well,
here's a man of stature.
Yeah.
Here's a man of one wife. Here's a man of character. Here's a man of integrity. I'm actually going to sit with the word that he's brought, and I'm going to give it some time and some space rather than just feel threatened by it.
Yeah.
And the sense of being threatened by the word of God is ugly.
It is.
The word of the Lord through the prophets is not there as a threat.
It's a provocation.
It's a provocation to better.
Yeah.
And I don't think we ever really hear that in the tone of threat in Scripture. We do hear justice. We do hear righteousness. We occasions hear judgment. But it is unto redemption and unto the will of God being done in the earth. So come on, that was a very sober.
Oh, yeah.
That's sober. Don't you love it?
Love it.
Maybe it's time for some pakora and some lunch.
I think so. But what an episode. What a lot to think and process and discuss with each other.
The Empire Prophets. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you for another episode very soon of What the Prophets Say.
If you've enjoyed this podcast conversation, then you will love our new Power TV app platform. Packed full of exclusive content and it's ad-free, you'll get to watch all the videos of What the Prophets Say. Visit powertv.app to join today.